He got him.
And welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. We're back after a little trip on the road. I was on the road. That's right. Actually, I flew and then I drove a bit. So it was a little bit of both. But I was in the beautiful, beautiful cities of Tulsa and then Wichita, which I'm a hot commodity, by the way. And one of our guests today will be able to basically vouch for that. Joining us today are my guests, Steve McGrew.
Hello there.
What's up, buddy?
What's going on?
And so Spiros Yavalis, let me get us all in here. We're all in the Zoom meeting here.
What's up, Doug?
Now, Steve and I worked together in Tulsa a little over a week ago. And I have never had more women try to bang me in one week.
Why? What happened?
Thanks, buddy.
Well, here's the deal. The show was so good, it made him look desirable.
Yeah.
Whoa. All right.
Spear's like, holy shit, he must have been crushing.
Yeah, the women were like, we need to get Dougie and roll him in wheat and flour and find the straw that sticks out.
I mean, it was, you know, it was unbelievable. And I guess, you know, like I said, obviously in South Beach, I'm a 2.5, but in Tulsa or Wichita, I'm a 9.9. Hey, who hasn't told that?
I always used to say when I played hockey, a 2 is a 10 on the road. So
there you go. But now, that's right. You're a hockey player. You still play a little bit, right?
A little bit, like the adult league, the beer league, past the glory days.
Well, I got to compliment you for being anything physical, because I used to be a collegiate soccer player. I was a pro Muay Thai kickboxer. I've been in all of that. And now I actually almost died having to run from gate C to gate A last night when I flew in from Wichita, from Dallas. I landed in Dallas and I had 10 minutes to make it. And
aging is only good in whiskey.
Yeah, because let me tell you something. I was no hockey player. I was no soccer player. I was a man huffing for wind, trying to get to gate C.
There's the title of your next comedy special, Huffing for Wind.
And the odd part about it was, you know, I watched somebody run from my last flight, from the first flight when I was leaving Wichita. You watch somebody run to make it to the gate. You know what I mean? And I even posted, I go, boy, when I see somebody running to the gate and making it at the last second, I consider them an Olympian. And, you know, and everybody had their OJ references, of course.
I consider it an Afghanistan.
Oh, now.
Run, we're missing our plane.
Topical right now, right off.
let's get into the topics, Mr. Mudflap. I'm sure to your glee, you're watching this travesty unfold with the misguidance of our president and how we felt this will not be Saigon, and watching those poor people fall off that cargo ship, that cargo plane. I mean, what? These guys are trying. You see that one guy holding on to the plane like he's going to make it?
Yeah, one guy climbed. I said, reaching for like an air vent. I'm going to hold on to this.
This would be good.
Yeah. It's crazy that they're jumping out of the.
Yeah, what's sad is
it's crazy they're jumping on the plane because they're just, oh man, we're delayed.
Yeah. Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was just saying it's crazy they're jumping on the plane because they're just adding me on Facebook, so it's wild. They're trying to get out any way they can.
He's correct. It's like, you know, I mean, if whoever makes it, if one of those guys make it, they really need to audition for American Ninja. You know what I mean? Because when you watch them people hold on, I mean, I do this now just for my back. I hang from the thing just to see if I could get my spine stretched. And I can only hold on to that thing for like 5-10 seconds at the best. And then I have to let go of my fat ass. So I couldn't imagine me jumping on that plane. I'd be going, nah.
You remember the old days when you used to try to get your little Dougie pulled, and now you're just trying to get your spine stretched?
That's it. Boy, life changes.
Life comes at you fast.
1 minute you're pulling your dick, next minute you're stretching your spine.
Worst Snickers commercial ever.
Exactly. Now, I mean, we had fun. I mean, Tulsa was great. I got to tell you what, for merch sales, I'm blessed that, Steve, you did not sell merch, which as a feature, you better sell some merch if the headliner isn't.
Right. But I typically don't, but I watched how much you were selling, and I came on and told my wife, I go, man, I am really messing up by not carrying a couple of shirts around.
Tulsa is unbelievable for merch. I sold like 47 shirts that Wednesday through Saturday.
And you would have sold more if they'd have been the wife beater style, but no. Yeah.
And you could have stole some shirts if you went home with the ladies that were hitting on you.
Hey, hey, hey.
I got to tell you, dude, I came home and I strutted when I saw my wife. I'm the man.
You did the George Jefferson on her, huh?
Yeah. Wheezy. and now, Steve, it wasn't like these were beastly women. These are sexy. These are good-looking women.
Oh, yeah. You were doing – I'm not going to say you were doing because I don't want to get you in trouble with your wife. What I'm saying was – and see, I know I was there. I saw it. You were, like, just so happy and proud that it was happening. You didn't care if it didn't happen. You were just like, oh, my God, somebody threw a lure at me and almost –
fucking lure. Want some vagina? but that was good. That was fun. But the merch deal, unbelievable. And then Wichita was a lot of fun. Worked with the Raging Cage and John Morgan. But anyway, back to the topic. Things are crazy, right? I mean, listen. I mean, how is it? By the way, you're in Vegas, right? Which has been open and stuff is. Florida, I've had some shows canceled in Florida because Florida is a hotbed of the Delta variant. And, how are you guys doing there?
Things are still bumping along. They have the mask mandate, so obviously you got to wear the mask wherever you go. The strip shows, they're still going. Some of the local showcases have been canceled, but it seems like everything's been humming along like normal. No real change on our end.
I got you. So you have to wear a mask when you're indoors.
Did he just say the strip shows were still going?
Oh, yeah.
Out of everything in Vegas, I know they got to wear your mask to like a buffet, but hey, the titties are still flopping without a mask. Yeah.
That's cool. You can lick your lips and not look creepy anymore, you know? You're good with that.
You got that right, girl. That's the thing, we need – do you now, I always used to laugh because in Florida, the strip clubs I went to were always nude. You couldn't touch, we touched. And you know what I mean? I never understood the rule. Like when you give a guy rules in a strip club, you know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, first of all, it's a gentleman's club. I know you gotta be a gentleman. But it's hard to be a gentleman when one of your buddies just got out of the back room, and he got blown by six girls.
Isn't it strange that the gentleman's club is always the title given to the nastiest of the strip bars? But yet those really nice clubs with the steak dinners and the dancers they never have a gentleman's club title. They just have a name.
Yeah. And this is funny because back in the late 90s, I used to work for a company where part of my job was taking financial advisors out, for a good time and winning mm-hmm. them over so they would use our products, right? Very simple. Right. And we would go to strip clubs. And back then it was great because, like you said, they would have like, so-and-so steakhouse. Yeah. Like, oh, Doug, see here, that trip you had with those brokers from Palm Beach, $2,800, huh?
Yeah.
There's three of us.
Yeah, and they all had the New York stripper.
Exactly. They had some snapper and some blowfish. appetite. But it was great because back then you that would show up on the receipt, you know what I'm saying? But they got these companies caught up on that kind of stuff when in the early woke stage of Madoff financing.
Yeah, then you got in trouble when you tried to run the credit card through the crack of her ass. That was the one that really got you in trouble.
You know, I used to love strip clubs. I spent over $30,000, $40,000 of my own money in them in 1 year. I can tell you I've got fond memories, though, of those years. And, you know, was it worth it? Who knows? But, the, you know, but the point was there's moments of desperation that every man witnesses in the strip club. Like usually, like you mentioned, some people have food and they're actually eating, you know, in the, we're not talking about the nice restaurant that's attached to a strip club. We're talking about that. There's that.
The guy that, right there at the pole.
Yeah. There's a guy selling hot dogs. And the stripper's taking a few for her act. But, you know, aside from people that eat at a strip club, you know, I always found it desperate when you watch that one poor guy go to the ATM on a couple of different occasions, you know?
Yeah.
You mean that surveillance camera of you?
Well, that tells you everything. You know? Did you ever get caught with strip club ATM receipts in your pocket by your girl, Spiro?
No, I've only been to one strip club and I had the worst time and I was so drunk I couldn't drive home. So I called her to pick me up. It was like 3 months into our relationship. She's like, I think I'll keep you. I like you.
Wow, one strip club. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Well, the last time I went to, I haven't been to one in years, especially since I got married, but the last one was in Nashville. It was called Deja Vu. And their slogan was 99 good looking women and one ugly one.
Ugly one.
Yeah. And apparently 99 called in sick the night I was there.
Yeah, there's nothing. That's a bad moment in the strip club, right? When you see a girl in there, because I don't know. Listen, I don't want to like talk down on that profession, but you know, I'm just saying. You know, I mean,
you're a good supporter.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, listen, I paid a lot of rents. You know, I helped some. I probably made some law school payments.
That's why they would all be like, "Daddy Dougie's here! Yeah!"
Oh my god. We were white knights, man. That's what my buddy and I Rick was. We'd walk in. And then even my wife now, to this day, she knows. I took her when we were still dating to one of these clubs. And my buddy Rick's like, I don't think you should take her to this one. And
to this one.
This one. And we walked in, of course, the manager, the cook, the valet Parker, you know, the harem of women come over. Oh, this is your wife. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he bought my nails. He bought my implants. He bought my extensions. Yeah, there's
like a weird Ray Liotta from Goodfellas, just going through the back exit.
You know what I'm saying? There's a little bit of Dougie in all these women, honey.
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not talking about the DNA, but it was always good. You know. What I'm saying is, so there's women that actually went in there, made money, and then moved on, right? They used it as a stepping stone. I mean, who hasn't? But there's others that lingered. And there's others that, you know, because I tried to explain to one of them one time. I go, look, I know you're making good money, because that's the problem. You know, you're making good money, you get addicted to it, and then you're going to get a regular job.
Yeah, I'm making $500 a night. You think I'm going to go flip a burger? You know,
right.
You're going to go sell sweaters at the Gap. But listen, you get caught up in that. But then the problem is you're going to try to go get a regular job. And what's going to be on your resume? Yeah, twerking, you know, solicitation, how to get $1,000 out of a guy's ATM in one night.
You have a gap of employment here of about 10 years. What were you doing during this time?
Why is there self-employed marketer.
Self-employed daily marketer. Why is there glitter on the app?
I was working the Gap, the thigh Gap.
I guess if they were smart, they could do the same thing I did with the tax situation by calling it Rachel's Steakhouse. You know, what did you do at Rachel's Steakhouse? Were you a chef? Were you a waitress? Were you a med? No, I was a titty dancer.
I was a server.
That's what blew the roof off the whole. Off the whole Bernie Madoff tax, you know, tax filing statuses of our business. Well, any rate, enough about strippers. Let me ask you this, because this came up. I've been on the road a bit, but what's the most annoying habit somebody can have that's near you or around you, you're spending time with?
Well, for me, it is a comic that is on the entire time. That you can't just like you and I had a great time together. We hung out, we joked, we watched old trucker TV shows.
Oh my God.
And we just enjoyed it. But when you're hanging out with somebody that's just doing their act or trying something new on you, or just you're like, ah, please, just shut that up.
Have you ever had somebody like that that just didn't, I mean, like just bugged the shit, like you had to share space with, and you're like, even if it's just in the green room, right? Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm newer in the game, so I always learned, you know, be the fly on the wall. Don't be the person talking. If you're in that situation, right, when you're around a headliner or somebody, you have to be sharing the room and sharing the space with, you know, a true pro. You know, they say, what do you do? How do you do? And you like to fish? You know what I mean? You know?
Right.
What do you do, you know?
I just stay quiet. I'm a quiet person. I chill. I relax. I'm kind of the same way that I don't like people that are on all the time, or I don't like people that like they don't work whatever club you're working, but they just kind of linger, but they try to tell you how everything works everywhere. It's like, just please leave me alone. Like, just go somewhere else. Go talk to somebody else.
Unsolicited advice. Yeah. Didn't we talk about this, Steve, but getting unsolicited advice from an open micer?
Oh yeah. You know, right. Yeah, we did.
We did.
Yeah. Here's what I do when I work this room. You're like, yeah, okay, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
This is my home. Sure. This is my home club. So I here. Listen.
I've never done more than 4 minutes in here, but trust me, they're always great.
Yeah, midnight show on a Tuesday. That's how you really get them.
Yeah, I remember one time I was working with Jim Florentine, and this young comic came up to me and he goes, hey, I'm gonna go ask Jim. I got some tags for him. I'm like, don't. And he goes over to him. And Jim's like, what? You got tags? What are you, a rookie?
You know, that kind of stuff, I like it when an audience member does that. Somebody did that to me in Tulsa, called over and said, I really thought you were gonna make a call back to such and such. And I went, dang, thank you. That's not a bad idea, you know. I do appreciate, okay, doesn't matter to me, but I appreciate it when somebody is paying enough attention or likes you enough to want to share something like that, but just not from an open micer.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same way. Like if they come up and it's specific to my set with a tag or something, cool. But when it gets that weird, like I have this weird story about how I almost rolled over and died in a ditch. You should probably use it in your skit somewhere. Then it gets weird. But if it's pertinent to me, then I'm good with it.
Yeah, I always tell them, hey, I already got a bit I'm working on about rolling into a ditch. you know what I'm saying? That happened. One of my wife's friends gave me a funny punch for some joke. I used to say one thing, and she's not a comic. She just came up and she just said this. I'm like, I'm going to try that next time. Absolutely. Have you ever been given that advice and that's still part of your act? Like where somebody said, hey, now you're going to use that, Steve, you're going to use that tag now in that part of the joke?
Yes, I have definitely done it. And I still do that for a couple of jokes. So yeah, I'm up for it. You know, like on Twitter, I don't know if I told you that I use Twitter a lot of times to build my act. Cause I think of a joke or a punchline and then I write a bit to go with it. That's the way it, like, okay, I know what the joke will be. I just need to turn this into a longer bit. So a lot of times I'll go through my Twitter feed and people will post something and I'm like stealing it. And they're like, you're welcome. Glad to help. You know?
I mean, is it stealing? It isn't. These are people adding to your, right? I mean,
right. I think they know what, right. They know I'm a comic. They know what I'm doing. And they've never been like, oh, what? No, it's like, you know.
That's what I love about you, dude. The fucking expressions.
What? Well, if you worked with me, you know that 90% of my act is acting it out.
No, it was fucking, you know, there's always that one night. It was great because I can't remember what night it was, but it was like, it was a slow night. Where is it? Was it the early show, late show Friday?
Late show Friday.
Yeah. And it was just really light and it was a weird crowd. And it's one of those moments like, you know, you're sitting there, you know, just trying to get through and bulldozing and trying to just go through your set. You're not getting discouraged, trying to keep the timing. Just you know, whatever. And fucking Steve goes up. You're like, fuck, it wasn't the crowd. it was fucking me.
The most depressing feeling ever. Yep.
So, you know, you're sitting there going, fucking people, what's the matter with them? And he goes up for the first 30 seconds. But that's what happens, right? I mean, isn't that a great experience? You know? Now, you were in Chicago, yeah. Right, Sparrow? You were in Chicago last weekend, right?
Yeah, I was there for 2 weeks. It was good.
Oh, nice.
Which club in Chicago?
I did Zany's in Chicago, and then there's a new one out in the suburbs of Bolingbrook called CG's. It's about like a year old. They opened right before the pandemic, so
yeah. I used to work Zany's a lot, and now I can't get – it's Bert still doing it, right? Bert Haas?
He retired.
I think Bert left. I think
maybe that's why I'm not getting replies to my emails. Holy – I'm like, why didn't Zany's call me back?
and the guy from the Chicago, because I think Rosemont and Chicago, now they have separate like bookers and managers. And I think the one from Chicago just left the day after I worked there. So they're going through all sorts of crazy changes. Transitions over there.
Changes.
And base this change. No more emails. I mean, how bad is that when you're wondering, why is this person fucking calling me? They retired 2 years ago.
I guess that is. But Dougie, that's what I was telling you before. You know, like trying to get back in. I was doing ships for a few years now and trying to get back into clubs that I actually worked two or three times a year. You're like, but there's a new booker or there's a new owner or there's a new. And you're like, well, I'm not starting over. You know what I mean? I don't want to start over with you guys.
Hey, can you send us a VHS? how bad were those days, Steve? I mean, you know, we're as comics in this day, right? It's easy. We send the link, we do this. How bad was it? You got to send a fucking VCR?
It's got to send that tape. You send the tape. You faxed your avails every week. You like faxed them, and you either made a new sheet, and you always tried to like make funky graphics, like an 80s graphic, like you cut something out of a magazine and made it look like a hostage letter. Hey, I'm available.
You're being creative, right? I mean, because I've had young comics ask me, like, when you send a, because it's a great question. Like, I don't know. It's, you know, how do you send a good avail? It's almost like the same way you learn how to wipe your own ass. You know what I mean? It's like eventually you mutter around a little bit and you figure out this seems to work.
Yeah, eventually you learn all the cracks and crevices and you're...
Yeah. Did anybody ever teach you how to wipe your ass, Steve, or did you figure it out?
I think I was shown the basics and then you realized, ow, that burns on the left side. I need to do that more. Ow, the middle! And I didn't figure it all out eventually.
Oh, you mean I gotta wipe my whole ass?
And then
exhausting.
And then the first time your wife goes, Jesus, what's wrong with your butt? I'm not washing these. You can wash. I'm not even gonna touch these. You realize I probably should do a better job.
Yeah. Well, that's when I know I've gotten too fat, when I'm having trouble wiping my own ass. Definitely gonna get on the treadmill then. Hey man, you getting in shape? I can't wipe my ass anymore. I figured it's not good. All right, we're a little short on time today, by the way. This technology thing, you know, it's amazing how technology helps us and it screws us. But and you brought this up, by the way. I was going to ask you guys this, but as a comedian, are you always on? You just talked about that. You know, I have a buddy of mine, Perry, that every time you hang around with him, I said, dude, I need to get like part of the stage and cut it out, make like blocks. And then put them under your feet. And I mean, I'm just going to fucking put these stage, you know, the stage floor under your fucking feet, because it's that, right? It's always that. You know, when do you turn it off, Spiro? When do you turn it off?
As soon as I get off stage, or I'm very to myself and quiet off stage. I just kind of like to focus on me. So as soon as I'm done, like, I do not like, you know, if I'm around people I'm comfortable with, cool, but I'm not like full on. All the time, like it's exhausting to me. I can't imagine how people do it. Like, it just seems not fun to me. I don't know.
Well, I'm constantly thinking of funny, like constantly thinking of things. All right, when I watch something, I try to look for it there. But I'm not saying, hey, is this funny? Hey, would this be funny? hey, would I just, I'm constantly like working it and storing it or jotting it down into my phone. But that's my process compared to the, you're nodding. So you understand that those guys like, yeah. Hey, I just thought of this. You think this would work? Hey, yeah. Yes, shut up. That works.
Yeah. And I mean, you're right. I mean, you're always, because I've noticed, you know, as a, for the years I've been a financial advisor, I'm a fiduciary for years. And being a comic, like there's, the days are different. Like, as a fiduciary, I wake up thinking about interest rates. You know, what is China doing? What are the pre-markets doing? What's the global sentiment? Blah, 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 all this shit. But as a comic now, I'm waking up going, what's funny?
What's funny?
What's funny today? I got to find funny somewhere. Oh, you know, wiping my ass. No one taught me that. Oh, I'll talk about that on the podcast. You know? You know, hey, you guys happy about Britney Spears?
Hashtag free Britney.
Yeah, good for her, right?
Yeah. Well, you saw my post. You know what I mean.
Well, she's a Vegas girl, right? Is she still living in Vegas? Didn't she have a thing at the Planet?
I have no idea. I think that's kind of what started the little bit of the craziness with her up to today. Because I think her show got like canceled and she did all sorts of crazy shit, like in the condo or the suite that they had her in. Like it was wild. I remember there was like a lot of drama surrounding her leaving her residency out here. But so I don't think she's still out here.
Isn't it great? She got so much attention when she showed her box.
Yeah. My wife is a huge, I mean, a major Britney fan. And when she saw my tweets, she's like, you leave Britney alone. You just, it doesn't matter if she's crazy or not. You don't need to be involved in this because she's, you know, and I was like, what? She goes, you're just trying to cause trouble. And I'm like, I am, I know, but it really was not good with me and my wife there on the Britney thing.
Oh yeah. It almost caused a little, some tension in the
fucking. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's, can you imagine why are you guys getting divorced? It's all fucking Britney's fault.
She's team Britney. I'm not.
There's people like that, like the Beyonce fans, like the Beehive or whatever they call themselves. Like if you talk bad about Beyonce, they come at you. Like it's like a cult. Like if you say anything bad about Beyonce publicly, all of a sudden they'll like just attack your social media and like find where you work and like send them crazy shit about you. Like it's it's weird. Yeah, it's wild.
You know, people always talk about Beyonce, Queen Bee, and how great she is and amazing and just the best that's ever was. I can't name more than two songs.
Yeah.
I'm being serious. I don't, to me, somebody that's mega, mega talented, super talented is you can just start naming off hits. They're superstar. To me, Rod Stewart is more of a superstar than Beyonce. You know,
I'd rather bang Beyonce than Rod Stewart.
Well,
you know what I mean? But I get you, Mandy, you know,
but you understand
Barry
what I'm
Manilow?
But you understand Barry what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, she was with the troupe, the girls, right?
Destiny's Child.
That was good shit. But I hear what you're saying. Like, you know, you think of superstars, you think of Aretha Franklin, you think of, you know, Diana Ross, you think of, you know, of Barb, even Donna Summers, who only had a few fucking hits.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That was my first interracial masturbatal type thought was
Donna Summers.
Oh, actually, I apologize. It was the sister in Good Times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She was dynamite.
Hey, at least you'll say it. You know what I mean?
All right. Can sign up and get free money from Medicaid.
Yeah. Do you believe? Yeah. I don't believe that J.J. Walker is actually qualifying to get his extra part A of his part A or B deduction from his Social Security account. You know, with the income he's making at this point. All right. Well, you know, we only got a few minutes. So I'm going to go through some of these stories. We only have a few, and we're going to have some fun with it as comics. I know Steve is ready because I already spent time with this man. I know whatever comes out of my mouth, he's going to figure out something funny. Spiro, of course, you know, welcome.
I'm going to try my best.
You got it. And
hard dryer.
All right. Indonesian army to end archaic virginity test for female soldiers. That is the the headline, Indonesian Army to End the Archaic Virginity Test for Female Soldiers, and the general who used to conduct the test is pissed. Come in, little girl.
You
come
didn't
in.
Say, you didn't say, ouch. You're out.
It's this poor guy, man. He's like the Hugh Hefner of Indonesia. Now he's not anymore.
Several years ago, somebody petitioned the army to have someone else do it, and they were suspiciously found dead with a self-inflicted wound to the brain. Good news for female soldiers interested in joining the Indonesian army. And what female doesn't? Its chief of staff recently announced the end of the archaic practice of the vaginal exams meant to test the virginity of each recruit.
Now, why was that necessary? Why would that be necessary? I think I would want
We want virgins!
I would think you would want angry, divorced women that are ready to kill men.
Yeah. Find some strippers who are pissed off they can't get paid any.
I was going to say, that's probably confusing for some armies to be like, man, all these virgins running at us, did we die already? What do we do? It's this confusion method.
There's 72 of them. Surrender.
We made it, guys.
Put them in front of the French army. We will retreat. We will retreat. We surrender. Good. Yeah. So they call it the two-finger test, the end of the old two-finger test. Good for them.
That's also how I practice my virginity exams with two fingers.
Didn't they have some kind of Zieg Hyman thing they did?
Yeah. First I take them out to pizza, and then I give them the two-finger test. Speaking of food, Kraft macaroni and cheese ice cream debuts and quickly sells out. It wouldn't be on my list. It wouldn't be a purchase I would go for. Macaroni and cheese, would you dig that, Steve?
No, macaroni and cheese ice cream. I can't imagine anybody that would want that except somebody so food oriented, so like, oh my God, I haven't tried that yet.
Yeah. So cheesy.
Yeah.
I'll only eat it, but it still sounds like wet ass pussy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I haven't eaten wet ass pussy in a long time, Spiro, but thank you.
You don't listen to Cardi B? Aren't you relevant, Dougie? Come on.
Oh,
now.
My God.
I thought you liked strippers. Former stripper? Come on.
Now, is Cardi B, and I'm going to show my ignorance, is Cardi B named after Bacardi rum? Is there some connection to that? Because I've.
Yes.
Bacardi B. There is.
That's exactly why. She put the B so she doesn't get. Copyright infringement on it. It's exactly the reason why.
What? Wow.
I had no idea because I don't care, but I always thought there was some reason.
Steve, you would be that smart too if you sat on 1,000 cocks.
if I had that many men's brains in me.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. When it comes to macaroni and cheese, the only thing I can think of is the best part about any type of cheese and macaroni is the new lobster mac and cheese dishes. That upscale restaurants, and that there's, if I see it on the menu, I get it. Lobster mac and cheese.
Oh, I know. I agree. Oh,
you can't, right? I mean, it's some of the best.
Back that lobster up.
Yeah. Abe and
that's
Lou,
really like wet ass pussy then.
Yeah.
You got the seafood in there. You got the smell. You got the aroma and the sound. It's all an experience.
See, now you're talking. Now you see, this is when you know you're old.
I was going to let my son listen to this podcast, but now with all this, no way, I'm letting him listen to WAP.
Yeah, and by the way, his son's 26. He's like, everybody's picturing this little fucking kid. All right, let's move on real quick. We only have so much time. Judge releases Boston teen accused of sexually assaulting a horse.
I'm gonna let you go first on that one. Oh,
for sexually assaulting a horse. I guess he's running for mayor in Tijuana. Like, he's probably a hero.
It's like kid and play. Jackson Kelly faced dangerous hearing it on Friday.
That's more like kid and horse play.
I mean, if you want to try to bang a horse, you got to be careful, right? You can get a hoof. Yeah. You know,
bang a horse, get it on, bang a horse.
Fucking hoof.
Let's leave that there.
What kind of stepladder do you need for that, Dougie?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you better listen. If you're going to want to fuck a horse, you better be packing. You know what I mean? You're at least 3 foot shorter than the horse.
Well, like, you don't want to disappoint her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Know what you really know what she's used to.
Yeah. Yeah. How disappointing would it be for the horse thinking they're going, what the fuck is sticking in me? You know.
That reminds me of that. What was that old joke where the ant jumps up and tries to hump the elephant and just gives it one hump and just goes, suffer, bitch. You know, just in its own head, you think you're doing well.
Yeah. Well, that's what it's all about, right? When it comes down to it, who cares? Unless you're a comic. Sperm Bank holds a contest to find out who has the best jizz. You know, right. Hey, I mean, how do they judge? Is it a taste test?
Wait, I got to know where you're getting these articles from.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's my secret, my trove. I won't give away my podcast secrets.
I don't want to know anymore. I was a little curious, not anymore.
No.
Beat it out of me.
Yeah, grounded by a pandemic and bored. If you're a young man in China and have time on your hands, a Chinese sperm bank may just have the right summer program for you. Oh, look, this one have a blonde hair. The Human Sperm Bank of Shanghai is inviting college students to join a competition. We'll call it a circle jerk. To see who has the best semen in order to promote reproductive health and recruit donors and get rid of some cups that they overordered for the Olympics.
It sounds like they're trying to create the perfect race. Like we're looking, doesn't it? Like we're looking for super, super human sperm. We need the best, top notch.
A fat Chinese guy walks up. Hey, how about here? The guy goes, thank you.
You know, it'd be funny if they found like the one. They go, "This is the best. This is pure. This is like Colombian gold of semen. Who does this belong to?" And then like Dougie wanders out.
Hey, I see you got my juice. Hilarious.
Yeah, it's like the voice. You can't turn your chair around. So you go, that's the best semen. Who is that? Oh my God. Yeah, no, I mean,
exactly. Look the way it drips. I mean, what are you testing? You know what I mean? Unless you're looking at
look
the chromosome.
Look how it clings to my hand.
Yeah. Look how far it went. Real shot put event.
Oh my God, what have we done here?
Yeah, hold on a second. We have to have the Spider-Man test. All right.
Spider-Man.
What a fun pack show this is. Man's handwriting was so bad, Eastbourne bank staff didn't know he was actually trying to rob them. You want a rubber dank? You want a rubber duck? I want to rob the bank. Hold on a second. It says here, the man who tried to rob a bank in Eastbourne with a handwritten note has been jailed, according to the police, and he got an F in penmanship. They said Allen's.
It sounds like they're looking for a doctor.
Yeah.
Are you trying to rob a bank, or did you just write me a prescription for Xanax?
Yeah. How bad of a bank robber are you where they're bashing your handwriting? Like, they're like, we have to make sure everyone knows what an idiot this guy is.
Well, that sounds like a millennial trying to describe the bank robber. His handwriting was terrible.
Absolutely.
Can you
describe
the bank robber? His handwriting was disgusting.
Or it could be older generations. You'd be like, you guys didn't learn cursive in school like we did. This is what happened. Yeah. Came around banks right.
What is everything in bold print? What are you, mad at somebody? Yeah, actually, he probably got caught when he brought the security guard over. I'm going to bring the security guard over here. Oh, no, can we get somebody else? Slattery entered three banks in Easton hashtag in the space over 2 weeks, and he used the written notes to ask cashiers to hand over money. According to the police, his first attempt was a bank, blah, 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 on a certain street. Handwriting employees was unable to read the note, and slatterly, the guy left empty-handed. So listen, if you're going to be a bank robber, kids, be sure to practice your penmanship.
Well, maybe he was robbing a sperm bank and he was jerking off. It was just his handwriting was shaky. Yeah.
The paper smudged. Oh, that's awesome. Well, I got to tell you, fellas, I know Spiro has got to go. He's got a show to go. We had a little bit abbreviated version of the show.
You owe us another 15 minutes on another show.
Hey, Chris, if you're there, dude.
I will. I'll donate Chris, some time.
By the way, Chris, if you're there, I don't know, I'm going to text him. He's outside. see if we can stick around. Can we do a little magic here? And then we'll, Steve and I'll just go on for a little bit because this is funny shit. All right.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Dougie.
All right, Spiro, dude. Steve. Hold on, dude. No, I wanted to give you plugs and shit. So let's do a 5-second count and then we'll just come back to, hey, where are you going to be? All right.
All right.
Ready? All right, cool.
Yes, sir.
Ready.
Cool. Follow me on any social media. I'm on every and any social media, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Spiro in that show. It's my name, Spiro in that show. Just drop me a follow. You'll see where I'll be at.
Awesome, dude. And I'll be in Vegas in a few weeks, man. So I'll be, you have a show or something. Hopefully I could be jumping on.
We'll go harass some strippers, get some receipts.
No. I just go to Asian massage parlors now, dude. That's my thing. Anyway.
In Vegas until December.
Oh, see? So we're all getting along.
It'll be nice then.
All right, Spiro, thanks for joining us, buddy.
All right, guys. Thank you. Have a great night.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thanks for us, Spiro, for joining us. Busy in Vegas, man. A lot of shows going on in Vegas. So those guys are always working.
Vegas is, come back to life. It's good to see. I can't imagine Vegas during lockdown. Can you imagine it'd be like it'd be like a modern ghost town, like an old West town with just newspapers blowing down the street.
Yeah, dude, when I'm in Vegas, where am I going to be? I'm going to stay inside. It's hot as shit, especially, unless it's in the winter.
Yeah.
It can get cold. People don't, you're in Vegas in the winter? Bring a jacket, bitch. Yeah. I froze my balls off one night because I didn't realize it was going to be cold in December. Well,
When I go to Vegas, which I love working Vegas. This is one of my favorite things to do. But I don't do anything in Vegas because I don't drink. I don't party. I don't do any, So what am I going to go to the pool and get hot and not have something to drink? So I'm not going to be chasing women. So I'm not going to go to the pool and go, mm-hmm. Hey, how you doing? Kind of sit down and talk to you. I'm not going to do it. So I.
Well, you and I have two different reasons for not going to the pool.
What is yours? You can't not pee in it?
No, I don't want to be. I don't want to be the guy with the fat guy at the pool with his shirt on all day.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
It's like the bald guy who always wears a hat.
Yeah, with the $0.50 size dark nipple shooting, going through the wet white t-shirt. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Vegas is great. Yeah, but I would just stay in, Like I never left the building in Wichita. I didn't see the light of day when I was in that, I don't want to say anything about the condo, but the you know what I mean? What's
the
that?
House. The house.
Yeah, the house. Yeah. But it was, I didn't see the light of day.
We really didn't need to. We had Roku. I mean.
That's right, man. We should share this with funny as fuck. We were watching old TV.
Right. And enjoying the hell out of it.
Right. And there was an old series called Moving On.
Claude Akins.
And some other dude.
Frank Converse.
And they were truckers. And they went around and they ran into all kinds of shit. They ran into this one guy who was a pianist from Russia. And for some reason, he's like, I want to fucking go. And he wanted to go on his own. And he
ended up getting to America with you boys.
Yeah, he ended up getting in their truck. And next thing you know, they're buddies and pals. And there's a scene where they walk out. They go in to some restaurant to see if he can play. There's a piano, so they go, can you play? Your fingers messed up. Who knows? I forgot he was at a strip club and he was in the VIP room. He thought he hurt his hand.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? But he went in there and they used the piano and he played. He goes, I'm good. Let's go to the play at the whatever. And they go and they walk out and there's a sign out front that says Richmond, home of the Confederates.
Yeah, capital of the Confederacy.
Capital of the Confederacy, right there. And they're hiding. These big guys are all behind the sign. They're looking at it. Home of the Confederate White House.
Yeah, Confederate White House. That's right. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, no wonder this is not on regular TV today. Can you imagine this being seen on regular TV? What? Somebody got fucking triggered.
Well, you know what's just sad is them trying to, like, people destroy history. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's, it may not be cool now, but it doesn't mean it wasn't back then. You know, like, people, right. People had different attitudes about things. You know, I watch these old Westerns, and they're like, you know, it's 5 years after the Civil War, and we all should be getting along, you know, and you can almost see their version of what's happening now. Like, they're trying to say, look, we should all, can't we all just get along?
You right. know? Yeah. It's almost like going back. Like, I think of the world and our country, just like a person, right? You know, and the country, the United States as a country, based on all the other countries that are around, is a child. And you know what I mean? And we're judging the actions of a child. It's like going to your 2-month-old or 2-year-old going, stop shitting in your fucking drawers. How dare you keep shitting in your fucking drawers?
But that's what I do.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
You know, the judging of it. And I don't know, dude.
Watch the old shows like we were talking about, or the old Westerns that I like to watch. And you can always see how they were trying to use the American Indians as the reference for stuff. You know, like, hey, he's coming into town. We don't let them into town. They don't come in here. You know what I mean? You can see the social justice that was being used in the old Westerns, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. But, dude, I'm glad we got to spend some more time together here. And we're working on a little tour. We have some people, some fellow patriots that are wanting to do some shows, hit some towns. So
it's gonna be great.
Yeah, ask your Twitter followers of a name, a potential name we could use. I will give them credit. But where else they can see you? Tell my listeners where they can find you and find out more about you, buddy.
Well, I am addicted to social media, so anything on social media. What I do when I'm ever on a radio show doing a promo, I always say just Google Steve McGrew, because I wasn't lucky enough to be one of those guys. Find me on Instagram, Twitter. I'm all under the same name, you know. So I've got so many different names under each account, but I'm on Insta. Honestly, I'm on everything. I need social media: TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. But I always say Google Steve McGrew and find all my stuff.
There you go, and that's why I use Dougie Almeida. Otherwise, you're going to find some Brazilian jiu-jitsu dude in much better shape than me, who probably would run from gate A to gate Z much faster than I did in the airport last night or the night before. But great to see you, my friend. We'll talk soon. I love you, buddy. Have fun out there. You got it. My pleasure. But you got it. And good night, everybody. We'll be back next week with an all-new show again. Some special guests right here at the same spot. Take care.